1-1.
Your report?
Oh, nobody did. There's no one in the copy. No. Well, that's why you mentioned it. Thanks.
Yeah. We were wondering.
It's a surprise.
Very nice.
Nice note.
Thank you.
Thank you. Put your pastor in here.
You're going to hear about it in a second.
I know. I would like to pre-read it.
That's what I prefer to have you do. Thank goodness that clock keeps such a perfect time, or else I'd be late.
It's supposed to be 5 o'clock. Right?
What's that?
That's supposed to be at 5 o'clock. I thought this 5 to 6.
Yeah. He's struggling with that date and time.
Yeah, I noticed.
That's what I'm going to show up for my sandwich, is 5:30.
But
they're going to be gone.
I think it was 5.
Mm-hmm. 5 to 6.
You could show up earlier. The 5 to 6 is just the
everybody has this?
I know.
Has
social, yeah. Socializing talk. That's important.
What it looks like.
I have not ever been there. I know Mike was there with Kelsey maybe 2 weeks ago. But.
Okay, no, have you guys been in the Main Street office?
Today was good.
Uneventful.
The clean or?
Friday was a little different. I hit a pretty
Kelsey.
Decent sized year Friday afternoon.
The Main Street. Lori? Erica?
A brand new car, too.
It's okay. I went to good use. I had a guy stop behind me that hunts coyotes, and he took it and was going to use it for bait. So
Kelsey's going to work
it all worked out
for the first couple of days.
Wow. Oh, it's just a repair.
Yeah. It is noon. I'd like to call the meeting to order. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please, Jamie.
Conklin?
Here.
Grunch?
Here.
Needhammer?
Here.
Sansom?
Here.
Town?
Here.
Quorum present?
You. The consent agenda, the purpose is to expedite business by grouping non-controversial items together to be dealt with by one commission motion without discussion. Any member of the commission, staff, or the public may ask that any items on the consent agenda be removed and placed as the last item under new business to receive full discussion. Such requests will be automatically respected. We have the approval of the January 10th City Commission regular meeting minutes as presented.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
Further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you. At this point, we would entertain hearing citizens' comments on any non-agenda item. Okay. Thank you. And under correspondence, anything, Mike?
We did receive one piece of correspondence from Charter Communications with regards to rate modifications, otherwise known as increases, that they'll be doing basically effectively immediately. They're effective on February 21st. The notices are going out to the public immediately.
And that's business and private?
Residential.
Yeah. Okay.
So it appears that they didn't differentiate, so I'm assuming all the customers that have those levels of service.
Okay.
So when I provided the commission a copy of that, we do have a hard copy here that's available for the public review.
You will get ours.
Mike, city manager's report.
That's substantial.
A few items. Last week, the city facilities project took a huge symbolic step forward with the installation of the clock and bell tower skeletons, which included our own 1904 tower bell. Overall, the project continues to make good progress, and with the recent warm weather, it's been helping the Masons along with their section on the fire hall, which is the last masonry section that I'm aware of that needs to be completed. And I'm going to try something here, and we'll see if it works. Hang on, bear with me just a second. Got it somewhere. It's going to be here. Here it is. In case anybody would like to hear what the bell sounds like. This thing has been playing rather jerkily. I don't think, and I wanted, it had nothing to do with the people who are participating.
Exactly.
And this goes on for a half an hour, so if you have that much to listen to it, we do have the full-length CDs available. So. A new sign of identifying Waterworks Park and the Avalanche Park Trailhead is scheduled to be installed today, and it'll go up just east of the 1910 building on Division Street. This sign was part of the improvements that were funded through the MParks grant we received last year. A reminder that our countywide joint meeting will be held next Monday. That's different than the date that I had in my email I sent out on Friday. The 30th at 5 o'clock at the Senior Center, and we have from 5 to 6 soup and sandwiches, which will be served prior to the meeting starting at 6 p.m. Kelsey King Duff, our new Main Street Executive Director, is on track to start this coming Monday, January 30th. We do have her new business cards out in the front office if you'd like to take one or a few of them to help pass along out to people. I'll be out of the office next Wednesday through Friday to attend my statewide manager's winter meeting being held this year in Kalamazoo. As I mentioned before, and we actually did get submitted applications to host their summer version of the conference at Boyne Mountain, again, either in 2018 or 2019. Hopefully they don't pick us for both years. That would be a little bit much. And I've even suggested to them that they might want to consider holding a winter conference here at some point in the future. They usually hold them someplace downstate where they have a snowstorm and they don't know how to handle it. So maybe they'd actually want to try winter in a winter community. So if you have any questions on this or other items, I'd be glad to try and address them.
I have one comment. So Kelsey will, she can attend that meeting the day she gets to town.
Yes. The countywide meeting.
So we'll throw her right to the wolves.
She's got a lot of things on the already to do, but I thought that'd be a good opportunity for her to, you know, at least make a connection to people with introductions.
Yeah, that's a good time. That'd be good.
We don't want her to know it's throwing her to the wolves.
No.
No, we had
just, but it's an opportunity. I mean, all the township people and all of us.
We did that with Patrick's deer.
Yeah.
Reports of officers, boards, and stand committees. Anything there? And we do have the financial statement in our packet. Any questions on the financial statement? There is no old business under new business, group day ordinance amendments. Scott?
Thank you, Mayor. As the city continues to grow, and as was identified by the Boyne City School Superintendent last week, our school enrollment continues to grow. There is an increasing need in daycare provided for the city residents and people that need to work. And this has been identified as a goal and in our goal setting sessions, and also in the past we've received a couple of requests in this for these group daycare homes. A group daycare home is a home that's a family home that offers daycare for more than 6 but not more than 12 children. We had 2 requests in about the last year and a half that didn't meet the minimum ordinance requirements of our the conditional use requirements for these uses. Particularly, the lot area requirement is 20,000 square feet. In context, a legal conforming lot ranges between 5,000 square feet, 10,000 square feet in the city. So it's a rather large requirement. It also requires it as a special use or a conditional use, which puts it through the public hearing process and notification processes and adds another layer of difficulty. It also has a very large play area requirement. This requirement far exceeds the state requirement, which requires 600 square feet of play area, either on the site or relatively close so they can walk to us. At the Planning Commission meeting, at the staff level, we reviewed these standards, and it appears that they're more of an impediment to the development of these uses and providing these services than actually pursuing a public interest of health, safety, and welfare. So given that, we talked about it at the Planning Commission a couple of different times, and then developed some ordinance amendments that would change the restrictions for this use. Basically, we would recommend that it be made as a permitted use by right in all the residential districts and the commercial districts that allow single family homes as a permitted use. And we would eliminate the minimum lot size of 20,000 square feet. We would request that the maximum play area be adjusted down to 1,200 square feet and be behind the front building line so they don't have that play area in the front yard area. To accomplish that, there's an ordinance amendment to several sections that would be suggested. And basically, the language would be adding an item that says group daycare home with one requirement shall have a fenced outdoor play area of at least 1,200 square feet located behind the front of the building line of the home. And then in section 2510, the language under the conditional use section would be deleted in its entirety. In accordance with the Zoning and Neighboring Act and the City Charter, this public hearing was held by the Planning Commission last week, and it was recommended for approval. It comes to you now for a first reading determination if it should be scheduled for a second. If you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer.
Thank you. Is there any comments from staff or the public? Thank you.
Tom?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Yes,
Ken. Ken Allen, 51 Spring. I live right next door to a daycare provider, and she must be grandfathered in before these lot sizes took place, but it's clear to me that it's not appropriate. The current language isn't appropriate. And as a member of the Planning Commission, we did review it, and I feel like Scott's done a terrific job in clarifying the language to make it feasible for more of these opportunities to emerge within the city. The state controls it and regulates it and supervises it, and we feel like it, the other restrictions were too onerous. So I encourage you to adopt passage for the future. Thanks for
your time. Thank you. Any other comments? We'll go to board deliberation. Start your end, Hugh.
Sure. Scott, I have a couple of questions. From your memo, in the second paragraph, it says supervision for periods of less than 24 hours, that they couldn't have that. So is that now removed since the state regulates it?
Well, that's by definition. So the state does regulate that.
So is it necessary for us to have that in our?
Well, I think it's consistent with the state definition of
okay.
It is, and that's where it
okay.
From.
Okay. And then there was, you mentioned about five or whatever daycares now, and none of them meet the requirement?
Correct.
So how do they operate, or how did that happen?
I'm assuming they were grandfathered in, pre-existing.
And then there was, this use by right, could you just kind of define that or explain that? I'm not sure I really understand that.
Use by right is, basically, if you can meet whatever requirements of the ordinance, the city cannot deny that, whether it be the setbacks or the height or any kind of dimensional setting such as that. A conditional use, there's discretion given to the planning commission about the impacts of that use, and they can make a discretionary decision whether or not it is appropriate in that location or not. So basically, you have no discretion in the use by right, and conditional uses, you do.
And the planning department would approve it? Somebody would come in and say?
Yes, if they meet that criteria saying, here's our backyard play area, and we meet all the other setbacks, and yeah, it would be, have to be approved.
And then the only other thing I was wondering about is, why is it not appropriate to have a playground in a front yard?
After discussion with the planning commission, they just thought it'd be best in the backyard to avoid any kind of interaction with the street, and you know, to keep it to the back.
Okay. That's all I have, Don.
Thank you. Thank you. Laura?
Thank you. You already covered a couple of my questions, but one of my questions and thoughts reading through this is, there's nothing to govern somebody or an ordinance that would cover anyone for less than six children. Is there?
That's a family daycare home. And but that's a use by right in all districts.
So say if somebody wanted to do a daycare and take in four children, they could do that without any...
They still have to be have a license by the state.
Right, okay.
But as far as the city...
But as far as the city, then there's no guidelines. There are requirements.
Okay. It's a use by right already.
All right. And... Yeah, and you covered a couple other questions I had, so I think I'm good. Okay.
Thank you. Gene?
I have no other questions. I read it over, and I support the recommendation.
Ron?
I also support the schedule of second reading for February 28th, 2017. It's definitely a need. It's time.
And I do have one other question for Scott.
Yes.
The two applications that were received this previous year, for a year and a half, would those people be contacted and then notified
if those changed? If changed, yeah, we can notify those folks.
Right. Thank you.
Just two comments that I have. Laura, to clarify, and Scott, help me with this. So if it's less than six, and family, if it's your nieces or nephews or whatever, that's doesn't need the state regulation, or do they?
If you're bringing in non-family members,
non-family, okay. Yeah,
and providing that service, if you're just babysitting your cousin, no, but if
right,
being
right.
paid yeah. for it, then yes.
Okay.
Well, family could pay you to do that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. True, so, true.
They yeah. better.
Family correct it.
Well, tell my mother that.
All right. Well, I'm in support also. And so at this point, I would entertain a motion.
I'll make the motion for consideration of first reading for a proposed group daycare ordinance. Amendment request and schedule a second reading for February 28, 2017 at 12:00.
Second.
Second. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Conklin?
Aye.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Moving on to item B, Charlevoix County Parks Millage application. Pat?
Thank you, Mayor. As the commission is aware, in 2014, Charlevoix County voted in a millage to support parks throughout the county and with funds collected through the millage. All governmental municipalities within the county have the opportunity and are encouraged to apply to have a portion of these funds allocated to specific projects. City of Boyne City has taken advantage of this opportunity in each of the previous 2 years and received funding totaling $20,000 for the community or the community pavilion project. Additionally, last year you may recall we also applied for monies toward the acquisition of the open space property, which was ultimately denied due to the fact that the village doesn't support acquisition; it supports specifically development projects. but we found that out, I guess, after the fact. 2017 applications are due by February 1st, and the city is proposing at this point to submit three separate applications, one for Riverside Park Recreation Additions, which would include the installation of a small parking area, some split rail fencing, signage with landscaping, park benches, picnic tables, trash receptacles, those types of things. Secondly is the Peninsula Beach Enhanced Access, which would be the installation of a Mobi mat for enhanced ADA access to the water's edge. Basically a poly-style mat that would allow wheeled vehicles, like, or I should say vehicles, wheelchairs, strollers, that type of thing, to be pushed across the sand and access the water's edge. And then the Veterans Park and Boyne City Marina Recreation Additions is the third, which is an installation of a kayak launch near the small boat launch and also some additional informational signage. In addition to those three projects, the proposed recreation additions at both Riverside and Veterans Park, Bullman Dock and Lift has graciously proposed the donation of a custom-made kayak rack, storage rack at each location. Moving on, no matching or supporting funds are required for the millage applications. However, allocating a portion of funding may be received as good faith by the panel that's reviewing applications, and ultimately final approval by the County Board of Commissioners. Maximum fund allocation is unofficially capped at $10,000 per project, but that seems to have held true for the last couple of years. So we do have our recommendations there. I realize that some of the amounts are very exact, but the application does require that the resolution amount matches exactly what your application is. So, to approve funding at Riverside Park for $10,000, the application request in the amount of $10,655.65, also allocating $1,000 of matching funds. To support the application of Peninsula Beach for enhanced access and Mobi map of $7,985.56, also allocating $1,000 in matching funds, and then an amount up to $5,000 and $1,000 in matching funds for the Veterans Park, Point City, and Recreation Additions. Happy to answer any questions if you have any, and move forward from there.
Thank you.
Sure.
Is there any further staff comments or any comments from the public? Yes.
Is there any public bathrooms going to be in the park, in the river? Riverside Park?
Not proposed with this application.
Okay. Has that anybody considered that at all at any point? Public restrooms there?
Okay, Mike's going to answer that. And Deb, can you state for the record your name, please?
Oh, Deb Neer, 615 Grant Street.
Thank you.
Yes, when the Old City Park was rebuilt, basically to house the farmer's market, again, remember, we have the much deeper parking spaces and all the infrastructure that was done with the park. We basically did put plumbing and electricity in to build a bathroom there at some point in the future, basically right off the corner of River and East Street. So if you go over there right now and you look, you'll see a power panel over there. That was supposed to be the location where a restroom would go. Currently, the city is focusing on improving the restrooms we currently have before looking at creating new ones.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Let's move on to board deliberation. Laura?
excuse me. I'm totally in support of this as a recommendation going forward. All of the additions to these public spaces will be a great asset to the community and the people who visit here, so I'm in favor. I also appreciate the having the donation of kayak storage racks donation as well. I think that's incredibly nice and kind, generous for the community. That's about all I have.
Thank you. Gene?
excuse me. I, too, am for improving our parks. They're not only used by Boyne, but other communities. I support your recommendation.
Thank you. Ron?
I support the grant applications also.
And you?
Yeah, I do too, but I do have a couple of questions, Patrick.
Sure.
So this gift from Bowman Dock, is that something that could be used as a match as well to make our match look better?
That's something that I'd have to look at as far as the kind of an in-kind type match mm-hmm. or something to that effect mm-hmm. or a donation. I'm not sure how that might be looked at, but I can definitely look into it.
It's a good thought.
And then is there a, even though I'm on the Parks Commission, I'm not quite sure where this will go in Veterans Park at launch. Is it, so it's where the ramp is, the small ramp?
Right, and Bart could probably speak a little bit more as far as the particular location, because there we floated a few ideas around.
Okay.
The kayak launch itself would be attached to the west side of the boat launch dock. The ramp currently only goes down one side of the dock, so the only thing that the other side of the dock is used for is kind of a staging. If you pull up and it's going to take you a while to get your vehicle, you might pull up on that side until you can get your vehicle back down there and walk around.
Uh-huh.
But that's the only thing that it can be used for.
And then there'd be that rack somewhere near there too?
The rack would be upland.
Yeah. Okay. And then our past history, we've received $20,000 for the pavilion, so that was $10,000 each year. Did we apply for more last, like, have there been more than one project that we've applied for in previous years?
We applied for the pavilion
and then the
years, and then the acquisition of the open space. Outside of that, I don't know that there are any other projects that we applied for.
Do you think we need to rate these?
No, there's no limit to the amount of applications that you can submit to the parks fund, but again, Barb would be able to comment on that.
You can rate them if you choose, but the reviewing committee doesn't look at how you're rating them. We rate them ourselves as far as what we think would be unique to the community or, and when I say community, not just Boyne City, for example, if one of our applications was for a third boat launch, they would look at it and say, well, one, you already have two boat launches, and then thirdly, there's several more here, here, and here. And so they would say that's a lower priority for the overall good of recreation to the community. If you propose something unique like the Moby Mat, and they say, great idea, it improves recreation access, and there's only one other in the county, we would rate that higher. So that's how the reviewing committee looks at it.
So this is the third of year of this millage, and it's for 4 years?
That's correct.
So is there going to be a discussion at the county level at some point whether or not this is renewed? Or
I'm sure there will be.
Okay. I think that was all I had.
I have, if you're interested in what the kayak launch looks like, we would actually retrofit and attach
right,
to the current dock. We wouldn't have
cool.
this portion of it.
Yeah. That's good. That's pretty good.
My only question is just a clarification on that millage. Was that an increase or was that just reallocation?
That was a new millage.
And part of
basically what
better,
they did. And there was quite a bit of discussion about how that money should be used, whether it should be used for these types of purposes or was it all supposed to go towards improving the county recreation program, things of that nature. This whole allocation formula that they came up with, my recollection is that it came up kind of as an afterthought. And again, there was a lot of debate with regards to it. My recollection also is that the county, as a result of getting this park funding in place, that does support in, to some degree the county park system, reduced their overall millage allocation with regards to it. So it's kind of a tax shift. There may be an increase to it that support a portion of it, but there was a tax shift. It was a new millage, replaced some of the county's old millage, and then they started this program as well, too. And Barb might have more details on that, but that's my recollection.
Instead of the county pulling so much from the general fund to support parks, this millage that they collect will support the county.
Correct. I just couldn't remember if it was an increase or, as Mike said, a shift. So intentionally, or the long-term intention is to decrease. That's what they applied.
Well, it's only
I don't recall.
It's only it's for 4 years, so it's not forever. I'm not sure you know this answer, Barb, but if the money isn't spent for recreation, does it go back to the general fund, or does it go? Does it go to the stays in a recreation fund?
You would have to. Millages that are raised for a certain purpose like that have to stay for the certain purposes. Like the road millage can only be used for roads, and basically what was identified in that ballot language that went to the people.
We've carried over funds each year. All of the funds haven't been out or dispersed. So there will be conversation as we go into the fourth year as to what we would do if all of the funds are not dispersed.
And what role do you play in the, are you on the selection committee?
I serve on the review committee.
So is each community represented, each community in the county, or?
It's spread out, but not every township has somebody on the committee, but it's pretty spread out.
They look for quality, not necessarily quantity.
Would anybody else like to take a look at this?
Can't wait to see it, Barb. Okay.
If I may ask,
yes.
What was the exact amount again for the Riverside Park portion? Is that 10,000?
655.
Okay, I put 9 for some reason.
10,655.
Okay.
65. I do like the 65 cents. I'm sure that's
yeah.
Important.
Well, yeah, and I like the other one that has 86 cents on it, too.
That was discussed internally prior to the memo coming to the commission.
Can we round it up or down?
No.
No, it has to be exact.
That was the discussion.
All right.
This is the way that the county has requested the information.
Okay.
So right. Responding to it as they request.
As is, okay.
Talk about getting into the weeds.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be the dock.
I think when the kayak racks are delivered and installed, I'm sure that Mike will do a nice press release and a gala event on behalf of Bowman for their donation. So that'd be cool. We could have a kayak party.
And how many kayaks do those racks hold?
They
like
have
6 or 8.
But we're talking.
They're looking at 6 to 8.
Okay.
Did they just step forward? I mean, it seems very generous.
All the launch, yes. Yes, we were looking into who may be able to manufacture that locally and reach out to Bowman as, for a request to see if that was something that they would be interested in, and they responded with, yes, we can do that, and we would be happy to donate them.
Cool.
So at this point, I would entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to support the application request for Riverside Park, Peninsula Beach, and also the City Marina as presented.
A second.
Further discussion? Roll call, please.
Grund?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Conklin?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Moving on to item C, public notice.
I'll handle that if you'd like.
Okay.
It's hard to believe, but it's been since 2011 where the City Commission designated the Des Moines Gazette as our newspaper of record. Recently, Cindy was approached by Charlevoix County Clerk with regards to a joint publication with regards to our upcoming board review dates. There are some efficiencies to be gained by doing that. Basically, our cost would be $75 instead of $270, but this would move the publication from the Gazette to the Petoskey News Review. We do have the ability to use the Petoskey News Review as a backup publication if we run into issues with regards to publication dates or something of that nature with the Gazette. This is more of a request from Cindy and from the Charlotte County to do a joint publication with our neighboring communities at a savings to everybody. So that's why this matter is coming before you to deviate from the commission's previously adopted policy.
Just a clarification, you said Petoskey News Review, I thought it was the
Gazette.
Charlotte County.
Yeah.
Yes, my mistake. That is what the second paragraph means.
Okay.
Our backup is the Petoskey News Review, this movement is Charlotte County, for this one time. If the commission so desires. Our normal paper of record is the Plain City Gazette, since 2011. Our backup paper of record, in case we have a problem with the Gazette, is the Petoskey News Review. The request before us today, coming through the Charlotte County Clerk's and starting with the Charlotte County Clerk's to Cindy was, would we like to go into a joint publication with our neighboring communities to advertise as required by law the board of review dates? And by doing it jointly and changing the newspaper, it would have a savings of about $200. So from $75 to $270.
Okay. Any further comments from the staff or the public? Yes, Ken.
Sorry, one quick question. Are you saying that this if you adopt this, then you would not publish it in the Boyne City Gazette? Or that this would be the backup, or it'd be a secondary, or an additional? How are you saving the money?
Yes, this would be a replacement for, instead of. We would not do both, because that would be more money.
Is there a requirement for a backup then? What would be the backup?
Mike, the backup would still be Petoskey News Review, correct?
If there is some problem with it actually appearing on a timely basis with the Charlotte County News, I would think going back to the commission's original practice with regards to that, we would then have either the option of putting it in the Gazette or the Petoskey News Review, whichever was timely. I would assume we'd probably try and see if we could get it in the Gazette first and then go to the Petoskey News Review for our normal course.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions or comments? Gene?
Well, you know, it's just cost saving, so I support the recommendation.
Huh? I support the cost saving request.
And Hugh?
Yeah, well, this seems too good to be true. So is there a reason why there's such a price difference? I mean, usually things are based on how many people are reading the paper, which allows you to charge more and, you know, all those kinds of things. But Cindy's not here.
I would assume, Hewitt, in the discussion that I had with Cindy on this, readership was not discussed. I'm assuming it's a factor, and what I'm picturing in my mind is that the county's going to take out a full-page ad.
And put all the...
Yes,
yeah,
and
okay.
So we'd have a little blip in that would say, Boyne Cities, here's the location, here's the dates of the board review meetings. So by bringing everybody together, that's where the savings generates
from. Right. Which then would be in the spirit of working in conjunction with other parts of the county. So I could see how
correct.
That would work. Yeah. This did raise a question, though, for me. When do we, like, discuss the paper of record? Is that just something that's ongoing until whenever?
Yes.
Okay.
So whenever the commission chose to do anything with it.
And
there is no requirement that we go out for bid on a certain point.
And all our public notices are put on our website, right?
That is correct.
Yeah. So if people, there's access to that.
Yeah.
That's all I have.
Thank you. Laura?
Yeah, I'm good with saving money wherever we can, as long as it's a reputable paper that will be acceptable legally. I don't have any issue with it.
Okay. I'm also in support and would entertain a motion.
Make a motion for consideration to approve the request to publish 2017 Board of Review Notice in the Shallowboy County News instead of the Boyne Gazette.
Second.
Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Need Hammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Conklin?
Aye.
Grunch?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Moving on to item D, Marina Dock Extension Proposal. Art?
Thank you, Mayor. In the spirit of saving money, here's another proposal that could potentially, that would, I believe, save the city money. We talked about the dock extension at the last commission meeting that was going to be funded by, or I'm sorry, we really talked about the engineering service for the dock extension. The proposal that you're seeing today would save that engineering money. Flotation docking systems out of Cedarville are the original builders of our current facility for all the docks that we have in there that are floating. I went to them to just get a cost estimate months ago when we first started talking about the potential of this dock extension, you know, what could this potentially cost us. They gave us a proposal. I believe that if we put this out to bid, we would probably only get one or two other companies that might bid on the project, but it would require us then to definitely have the engineering so we had specs and plans that they would bid from. By hiring flotation, we could save on that because basically they would be adding on to their own system. The engineering services were going to be cost between $3,500 and $5,000. That would be a savings. Also, we are looking at doing this in conjunction with the fishing pier that Glenn Catt is proposing to build. He has already contracted with flotation docking. So we've spoken with the owners of flotation docking, and they said that we could potentially save another 5% if we had this, our work done in conjunction with Glenn Catt's. We would be saving on the delivery charges and the mobilization of equipment and things like that. So potentially overall, we could be saving approximately $7,000 by going with flotation docking. I think that if we put this out to bid, we wouldn't see that type of cost savings in the bids that came in because it's such a small project. Generally, you might see a couple thousand dollars difference, but you're not going to see $7,000 difference. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from staff or the public? Thank you. Ron?
I support the proposal from flotation docking systems to construct the extension of the floating pier T-dock. So I think it's well said by Barb, and saving $7,000 is respecting what the brand name that's got us where we're at. So, and the depth of the water right there too is also an issue. It's, they know the what it takes to hold that place. No engineering required. They have that public knowledge. That knowledge is already available through them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks. Hugh?
I think this question would be directed to you, Mike. Is it okay not to bid this project? I mean, is it in violation of any policy or?
Our general practice is for items, and I would have to think of the exact amount, like $20,000 or $25,000, we generally go out for bids. But again, that's a policy adopted by the City Commission, so I think you have the flexibility to do this. From my perspective, you know, it has to basically go to your common sense whether you think the deviation from the practice this time makes sense to do so.
Barbara, I have a question. When we looked at this before, the extension wasn't going to have any power to it?
That's correct.
It, was that because of money, or you just can't do it because it's temporary, or?
The county will not permit it. Okay. They won't allow us to extend our current electrical service.
I was just, if I could?
Yeah.
I think if we did look to extend it, I mean, if you really want to, you can do anything. The database would be rewiring everything back to the main panel, possibly including the main panel.
That's
so
great.
Instead of going to like a 40 or so thousand dollar project, you're probably going to be looking at more like 75 or 100 thousand dollar project. Yeah. So I think it just opens a Pandora's box of our existing electrical system, which we're going to have to rebuild when we do the full blown extension.
Yeah, I was just thinking, if you're saving money, how much would it cost to put power into it? And
it's not like we can just tack it on as an extension.
Right. I did check into that.
There was just one other thing I was wondering about. This is under flotation docking systems. It's towards the bottom. Let's see, it's the fourth one from the bottom. And there's just something that says, for your maintenance crew to complete all other work to be in operational status. I wasn't sure what that meant.
Is it fourth from the bottom?
Yeah, FDS would place the 1.5-inch schedule, whatever, but it just says for your maintenance crew to complete all other work to an operational status.
Right, that is for water.
Okay. I just didn't know what that meant, so that's all I had.
Thank you. Laura?
Yeah, I think it makes some good sense to go in this direction, so I'm in favor.
Gene?
Well, it's another saving, and I support the recommendation.
And I, too, support the recommendation, and our marina is getting extension of the dock, a new fishing pier, and a new kayak facility, so that's pretty cool.
Well, not quite yet.
Well, this summer.
Positive thinking.
That's right.
For the dock or whatever.
All right, I will entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the proposal from Flotation Docking Systems, LLC to construct and install an extension on the floating T-Dock for a cost not to exceed $37,193 and authorize the city manager to sign the required documents.
A second.
Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Conklin?
Aye.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Motion carried.
To item E, copier proposal.
While this recommendation is to spend money again, it's also in the spirit of saving more money. Our current copier was manufactured in 2008. We purchased it in 2012 when it came off lease from another business. It served us well for the last 4 years, but it is starting to require more regular maintenance. And I met with the representative from Dunn's, and he said generally they renew maintenance service agreements on an annual basis, and they generally only do it for 8 years because that's what they consider kind of the lifespan of the copier, because parts get more difficult and more expensive to get a hold of, and they end up starting to kind of go to their boneyard and rob Peter to pay Paul to try to fix somebody's equipment, and at some point it's not cost effective for them, so they just will stop renewing the service agreement, and we're just about to that point. What they have proposed for us is they gave us two options, another used one that's coming off lease or a brand new 2016 copier. If you look at the cost comparison that was provided by Dunn's that is in your packet, the purchase cost of the used, of course, is less, but the overall maintenance costs and monthly costs is a lot less on the new, it's a lot less than what we have and a little less than buying used. So we could actually purchase brand new for a couple hundred dollars less per month than what we're paying now. And the brand new one would actually pay for itself in about 25 months. But the cost savings is tremendous. You would go from, if we purchased it, we would go from paying $421 a month to $144 a month. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you. from staff or the public? Yes.
Am I out there too? We really started looking at this kind of in preparation for our move to the new city facilities. One of the things we have to keep in mind is we're going to have a central building location where we're going to have new departments that haven't been there before. The EMS is going to be there that hasn't been there before, and it's going to be a lot easier access for these tools. So this is a piece of equipment we're thinking we can share more. Mm-hmm. By being able to have a bigger, reliable piece of equipment, we're not going to need as many peripheral little printers around, which are generally more expensive to operate, have a longer, a shorter lifespan, and just kind of create more trouble. If you look at this sheet that they have up there as well too, you'll see that this has additional features that we don't have now. The existing copier basically replaced another very reliable piece of machinery that we had for a number of years, but it brought new efficiencies to the organization. So I think this one will do the same as well too. So it's a piece of equipment that we're going to be able to share throughout the organization and allow us to do our work more efficiently at a cheaper price. I think it's worth the one-time upfront investment. We also had the option of leasing it over time. That basically jumped the cost, the purchase cost, from about $7,000 to about $12,000, if my recollection is right.
Correct.
So,
a little over $4,000.
All in all, I think this is a good tool to do. We did talk about the possibility of just delaying the acquisition or delivery of this until we move into the new city facilities, to only move it once and all that type of stuff. And the company we're looking to purchase it from basically said, you might as well get it now, because they'd be responsible for basically moving it over to our new facility for us and making sure it's in good shape once we get there. So we really don't see a downside to acting on this now based on research our staff had done.
And Cindy confirmed that there is money in the capital outlay budget for our equipment purchase.
Thank you. Hugh, you want to start?
Yeah, I did have a couple of questions. So the money is there. Was it a budgeted item, or is this a budgeted item, or is it just something that came up?
Office equipment in general
had
a certain amount allocated in the budget.
Mm-hmm. And you kind of made reference to this, Mike. I was wondering, I don't know what we're going to have for fixtures and furnishings when we move into the building, but that's covered under the bond, right?
We'll find out, because remember, we were looking
at
what money was in the contingencies area for furnishings.
Right.
We may need additional funds for that as
right.
well, too.
Mm-hmm.
But again, going back to Barb's point, the existing copier is starting to fail on a more regular basis. And we're getting more, flat-out failure to different quality issues.
Mm-hmm.
And we're having streaks and stuff that are showing up, so we're wasting more paper and time.
Kind of like a purple color occasionally here?
Yes.
Okay.
No, that's exactly one of them that we've had.
They were just here yesterday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They've been there multiple times on that one issue, and
mm-hmm.
they can't seem to quite grasp it.
So I guess the other thing, too, not quite understanding the process, but is Dunn's like a professional services, so we don't have to bid it out, or would we just say we want this copier and see what other people do? You know.
That was a question I challenged back to the staff with regards to this, based
uh-huh.
on our previous research that we've done with regards to copiers. This is something the commission can award on its own. If you prefer us to go out to bids, we can. We didn't see any, based on what our past practices, the past time we bid it a few years ago, I think Dunn's has actually absorbed one of the competitors that gave us an alternate bid before.
Yeah. And
we checked into what the county had done in the past, and when we researched it last time, we were able to come up with better prices than they would. So in some respects, this is kind of like what we were just talking about with regards to the dock.
Mm-hmm.
The normal practice is to go out for bids.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't see any advantage to it in this occasion, and it's up to the commission to make a decision as to which way you want to go forward. And I should also point out that, again, we're doing this as in a public venue, so it's all above board.
Right. Yeah.
Everybody can take a look at what we're doing.
So They have a retail price here of $11,999, and they'll sell it for $6,995?
That's correct, because it's even though it's brand new, it's a 2016 model, so kind of like a car.
I see, okay. So this will, like, anybody in the building could use it for a printer kind of thing?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which would not be if you went with a used copier, it looks like.
Well, I'm looking at especially some of these wireless options that are available out there. You know, people being able to print from their phone or their tablet, which we don't have the capacity, you know, it's just more common feature, you know, as people get more untethered from their desktops to their mobile devices. This will give us, you know, so if you have, let's say we have a meeting here at night, we set this up at some location where people would be able to have access to it. They'll be able to easily print something on the fly.
That's all I had.
Before you, Laura, yes, Barbara.
Yeah, I was just going to add on to that. The new one has the ability to download apps and software, and they upgrade and come out with new apps all the time, so we would have the ability to review these apps and see if any of them are beneficial. A lot of them are free, some of them are at a pretty low cost, so there's efficiencies to potentially gain there.
Yeah, just a quick question. When we do move to the new city facilities and this copier would be available for all departments, how many copiers exist right now that are maybe on the verge of going by the wayside?
Just general printers?
Yeah. Like in departments?
One, two, three, four. Four just here amongst us.
Okay. And then other departments like
the police department. The EMS has their own. The fire department has their own.
Okay.
The police have their own and will probably have to keep their own.
But so each department should probably keep their own and then make this one a universal one for anyone, or?
I wouldn't see any reason for the fire department to keep their own.
Okay.
Or EMS as far as their main copier. Now they have a piece of equipment that they need to use that's specific to some reporting that they have to do, and they can't do anything else on that but that reporting. Mm-hmm. But their general printing needs and stuff would all be done off this main one when we're all in the same building.
Okay, so that'll be cost savings down the road as replacing other pieces of equipment as well as copiers go. So I would think the best way to go is the new one. I can't see doing another, say, used one going forward. So that should result in a lot of cost savings in the future and efficiencies that will be useful. So.
Thank you. Gene?
Yeah, like Barb stated, it will pay for itself in about 2 years. Mm-hmm. And add options to it. My recommendation, buying a new one.
Yeah.
First question I have is a service cost per month at $144. Does that include a service contract, and how long is that price locked in on a service contract if it isn't there?
We renew the contract annually.
Annually. Mm-hmm. And I guess the other question I have, if Dunn should go out of business, is there any other companies in the area that could service it?
Sure, any dealer that handles the Kyocera copier.
So there are other companies in the area that do?
I don't know that there's any other company in the near area that sells Kyocera, but because Dunn's has that contract with them, if Dunn's goes out of business, I'm sure that Kyocera would approach another company to pick up their line.
And Dunn's equipment is about Petoskey, is that correct?
Gaylord.
Oh, Gaylord, okay. That's all I have.
Okay. And I too support the purchase of the new one. So, looking for a motion.
I'll make a motion for consideration to purchase a 2016 Kyocera 3252 CI color copier in the amount of $6,995 and authorize the city manager to sign any necessary documents.
Okay.
I'll second.
Further discussion? Roll call, please.
Tom?
Aye.
Conklin?
Aye.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Under good of the order, Commissioner, have anything?
Yeah, I was kind of surprised. I didn't get a chance to go through all my emails today, but I got down to the one that Mike sent in regards to the branding and that we have for the new nameplates and some of our city logos. The swoosh that we have in our branding, where life meets lake, we went through that branding process a few years ago, and it's on a lot of our different banners throughout the city, but incorporating that, I thought, and then possibly having Keisha Freed come up with some other designs, I thought that was great. So I like what I saw.
Any design in particular?
No, the one that's got the swoosh on it, the green and red.
Well, we had two strict swooshers. Mm-hmm. And I would go back to say that, I mean, the branding process was actually conducted through the Main Street program.
Right.
And it's actually their branding.
Mm-hmm.
The chamber has kind of tagged into portions of it, and we've used it kind of informally mm-hmm. here as well, too. The last discussion we did have on this issue was specific with the Life Meets Lake tagline came up with when it was time to order some new city flags as to whether we wanted to add that to it. The decision of the majority of the commission at that time was leave it alone, just reorder the flags as is. So I was posing a similar question with regards to it, and there's basically two points. One, do we want to incorporate just the swoosh and do something like that, or did you wish to start the process where we start looking at doing something to replace the city seal?
Could you give us each a copy, Mike?
Like I think I emailed them to you, but yes, yeah. We can print some off before
yeah.
you leave.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I think the color copier could get that.
With a little purple background.
Can we
if
take
you'd like, yeah.
Can we take a little time to
oh, gosh, there's no rush.
This?
There's
I mean,
no
there's
rush.
No hurry to do this, right? Because I like a lot
only,
of it.
The only hurry that's yeah. out there is mm-hmm. we have at least two commissioners, Hugh that doesn't have a current name tag,
right.
And Tom that has a name tag but just doesn't have his current title in there, I believe.
Plus, I lost the old one.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, we could do some temporary ones with it because everybody has business cards, yeah. and I have some business yeah. card holders that you can actually pin on that yeah. give them something. In the meantime, while we gave this some thought, again, this wasn't an action item. I just wanted yeah. to start floating it out there, but we'd be glad to get you these as starting points and as a hard copy before you leave tonight. If you'd like.
Yeah, I think they're very attractive. But I want to kind of have some time with yeah. my head, so. Okay.
That was one of the reasons I was wearing my name tag and brought
yeah.
the mock-up so we could look at that other version, too.
Right.
I just wanted to do something simple that starts with your
mock-up. And instead of calling it a swoosh, I call it a circular wave.
Well, I know how wording is very important to you, Laura, so.
Yeah,
but I don't feel any negative effects by a swoosh. That just seems energetic and positive.
And the process and the end product when it came out was jump in.
Right.
Make the swoosh, make the splash, join us.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
Splash, I like splash better.
I like the okay. old one. I sure like the old one too. That old one's classic.
Yeah, I like the old ones.
Well, again, we're not looking to force a decision tonight.
Yeah.
And again, I mean, and that was one of the points that I brought up in my communications was. When I first arrived here, I mean, the logo really wasn't on a lot of city stuff. Most of our vehicles didn't have it. We did a really bad job, as far as I'm concerned, about branding ourselves as an organization. So now, as we have the signs up in our parks and on our vehicles and things of that nature, we have a common identifying logo, and it's the one that we've had for back into the late 70s or early 80s. We can continue going forward with that. Change it out and maybe a gradual change out. There'll be some costs associated with it because we have a lot of signs and stuff to change now, but it doesn't mean you have to do it all overnight.
But
Well, if we add your swoosh to the...
Well, and that was one of the things that I came up with to kind of bring right. us together with the direction right. that the Main Street right. and also the Chamber kind of incorporate as well, too. Because I think it's important, no matter which element you are of the community, mm-hmm. kind of like our team bowling and things like that, they're interconnected.
Right. Tom, I had a couple
yes.
of
things. Yes.
I was, we got a couple emails for a regulating marijuana workshop in Traverse City and the form-based code workshop. Is that something you'd recommend we attend, Scott? Would it be helpful to attend just because that'll be...
I always recommend training, and any training that interests you, I recommend you go to.
Because that'll be coming forward, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. This year?
The marijuana?
Yeah.
Well, the law takes effect at the end of the year, so it's important that the community have the discussion sometime in the next few months here.
Okay. And I was wondering, is anybody going to the MParks conference? I was thinking maybe of going to the Trail Day. There's a Trail Summit the first day of the conference, but is anybody else from the city going, you know?
That's been circulating among staff. Okay. I know Andy's expressed an interest in going, but he's been sick the last couple days, so we haven't finalized anything okay. yet. But I know okay. that's coming up next week as well, too, I believe.
Is it next week or? It
starts, I believe, on the 30th.
Is that yeah. 31st, something like that?
So that'd be Monday as well, too.
Yeah. Okay. And the other thing, Scott.
And that's in Grand Rapids. I'm not
yeah,
kidding,
yeah.
Me.
Is it? I think it's downtown, but I'm
yeah,
not.
It's a day one.
Yeah. And there's a couple building projects along, you know, our entryway into town, the par 3 golf course, and then the, you know, maybe a redevelopment of Challenge Mountain. Is there a way that we could be informed when the planning commission of the township is meeting just to go and kind of hear the conversation and?
The Planning Commission agendas are on their website. We can send them to you as
would
part
that,
of, yeah,
would,
no problem.
I would appreciate that.
Yeah, okay.
And then finally, I appreciate, Mike, you're on the sign. You made us aware of a sign that was in the community and what you did, and it apparently came down that day, and I just appreciate you doing that, whatever, if you
yeah.
had any influence on that at all, but I certainly appreciate you making us you informed us and making some moves on it, so I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thanks.
That's all I have.
Thank you. Laura?
I don't believe I have anything to add.
I'm sorry, I know that good of the orders for the board, but I meant to inform you earlier in the meeting that we have a draft amendment to the five-year rec plan that incorporates elements of the marina into the five-year rec plan as required by the state DNR and Waterways Commission in order to be aligned for some funding. So that has went before the Parks and Rec Board, also the Planning Commission for input. There is a draft here at City Hall out front, and it is also posted on our website, and it'll come before you for consideration and adoption of a resolution at your February 14th meeting. So if you hear that out in the community, that's what it is, and it is on our website in here at City Hall.
Okay. I don't have anything other than we all know as a community that the housing developments north and the housing developments south are big issues. Encourage everybody to be active and informed and participate in those conversations. See announcements. The annual Charlevoix County Officials Elected Leaders Summit will be held Monday, January 30th, at the Area Senior Center. And the next regular City Commission meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, February 14th at 7 p.m.
Yes.
107, and I will make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Thank you.
I don't. I like to be that. I don't want it.
Ask
me. Just like that. Yeah. Come on. I know. I don't see you.
Hopefully those
old fashioned things.
I know Scott's been to some small.
Did well, Jane.
That's difficult.
It's difficult when I have 15 people.
Yeah. I'm really glad I wasn't here for the, I was here for the meeting about the housing development on Jefferson. I wouldn't have wanted to be up here. A lot of people here. I was surprised there was that.
I think it's the direction things are going. I think it's just a matter of time.